Let's make the magic happen.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Nick Glover, Tim Wick, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's our 199th episode. We celebrate almost being to 200 with a retrospective. It's like a clip show with less effort.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Hi, Nick, Molly, and I would really like to thank everyone who's been listening up to this point for your loyalty to our show. At our 200th episode, we announced the launch of our new Patreon site, which we're going to use to help us get new equipment, possibly even finance some special field trips, and a lot of other cool stuff. We don't expect you to pay for our podcast, but if you've enjoyed what we've done to this point and you'd like to support us, we'd really appreciate it. Go check us out at patreon.com/geekswithoutgod. Thanks.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Nick Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Molly Glover.
Hello.
And Tim Wick.
Yep, pretty much always.
Always.
Without missing a single episode.
That's true.
This will be our 199.
199 episodes.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
So, tonight we're going to go record our live, big, Bright Lake Bowl thing for our 200th episode.
Oh, I can't wait.
I am so excited.
I've been doing prep.
Yeah,
prep work.
Me too. I'm excited for it.
Which is unusual for me.
I know. We usually don't do any prep. Yeah, right.
But we thought we would take our last episode before hitting that 200 mark to do kind of a retrospective and talk about...
It's kind of a clip show.
I'm not going to do a fucking clip
but
show.
But like, without all the editing that a clip show entails.
Because if it was a clip show, we'd just be like, hey, let's do clips, and then Tim would have to do 5 hours of work.
It's a clip show, but they have to go back and look at the episodes and re-listen to them manually.
It's a DIY clip show.
Yeah.
We'll
mention the episodes, and then you can go find them.
Yeah.
And listen to the clips.
Good for you.
And by clips, I mean whole episode.
Yep. So we started... July of 2012 at Convergence, we recorded our very first episode with Melissa Karcher about
Prometheus,
which is still a horrible movie.
It's still a horrible movie, and she's still a lovely guest.
Aren't they making a sequel to that?
Several, in fact.
And we just had Melissa back on recently. She's been with us a lot.
When she got married.
She got married.
She designed the logo that's on all those cool shirts.
Yes.
Yeah. It's we still use it prominently. It's still a good logo. Do you guys have, are there any like guest moments that stick out for you guys? We've had Melissa on a number of times.
I don't know. The guest moment that sticks out to me, I was looking back through all of our episodes. The guest moment that sticks out to me is episode 12, which is the first episode we recorded with Ron Bauman, who's a frequent guest of ours. And it's the one where we recorded the whole episode, and I deleted it.
Oh, that's right. We had to recapture the magic.
We had to re-record the episode.
It was so late, too, that it was really late.
It was really late on a Friday night, and we were recording in the trailer studios out at the Renaissance Festival. And so then we had to go up to Ron and say, can you come out to the trailer on Sunday morning?
That's right.
And we're going to... do the whole thing again.
He had notes and stuff, so like it kind of worked. Like he should have prepared.
It did, and a lot of the episode was, and we talked about this before, but I guess we got to talk about it again because nobody heard when we talked about it before. There was nobody here. It was just so that was a memorable guest moment. And Ron was very, very gracious about it. I felt like a complete idiot.
It was so early. If you think about it, like at the time, it felt like we'd been doing it for a while. But episode twelve, we'd barely been doing it.
Yeah. We really hadn't been doing it for very long at all.
We've had Ron on a number of times since then, talking about like gun control and
D&D. Ron's a favorite guest. So is Tony Miller. Both of them are fest guests, and Byron too. But he's recently new to the.
He's comparatively new. So,
So
we'll just sort of set him off.
Byron.
Secondary to Ron and Tony.
Damn. What about you, Molly? Any particular guest moments that stand out for you?
Yeah. So I really liked the people. We've made a lot of friends in the comedy community that I didn't know before.
Yeah.
Because they've been guests on our show. So like Eric McEwen and
Aaron Shepherd,
Levi Weinhagen.
Yeah.
All the people that we've had, I know there's more, and I just can't, like, bring them to call. But, and then, like, Bill Steitler. Like, I got to know him better when we had Sharon on and got to know, and you know, things like that. And so,
and then eventually, and then Bill, we eventually on later.
Had Bill on. Yeah. So it was, I don't know, I feel like my knowledge of and contacts in the comedy world have expanded from the, some of the cool guests we've had for comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's been pretty great.
I,
what about you, Nick?
My kind of guest moment, or like, I kind of, I can't, what is your guess?
I guess you're going to say Zach Wienersmith.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't say him, so you could say him.
And so it's having Zach on, which Zach is the creator of Saturday Morning Breakfast Cereal. If you don't recognize the name, you would recognize the comics.
It gets shared almost a lot on Facebook.
It like, really does. And a lot of it gets isn't get attributed properly, but you would recognize it for sure if you saw any of his work. And that was at Skeptech.
Yep.
Where we were invited.
That was amazing.
We were invited really early on. Like, I want to say,
it was in our first couple of months.
Yeah.
No, it was.
We'd been around for a year.
It was 42 episodes.
Yep. We'd been around for almost a year. Were, and because I remember that Chelsea Dufresne. It was the first Dufresne, and
only time that we were guests at a skeptic or atheist convention. Because
their student
once was enough. They learned their lesson. Yeah, they were touched like, the stove.
That was a lot of fun, though. I mean, really. It was really flattering and cool.
That time, some people that we met there, like that I follow on Twitter, like Sweater Vest Ben,
yep,
and folks like that. That I feel like we got a lot out of that, but also, so I really feel like I geeked out having Zach Wienersmith on the podcast, and I was really nervous. And I hosted that episode, and I hadn't hosted many episodes prior to that, and like I feel like if I could get a host do over, like I feel like now with more years of experience as a host, I would love to have him on the podcast again to make a better impression.
Ooh, a host do over.
And I mean that's I don't know if I say like it's a regret or anything. It was awesome. He was a great guest. He had some very remarkably bright things to say. But at the same time, like. We were
still learning.
Yeah, fledgling podcast at the time.
If I was going to do one over, it would be, this is actually something I think about a lot. It would be when we interviewed Eric McEwen at the Die Laughing launch party at the Amsterdam. Do you remember that?
I do.
I didn't really know Eric at all. And
that was the mustache ranger.
I knew him from Lem.
Yeah.
Him and Lem's comic Blanket.
Right.
That was, so I knew him as a comic writer. And so I assumed Mustache Rangers was probably a comic or something. So I made a really clumsy joke about how it was a band, and because I thought that would make him laugh, and instead, because now I know Eric, now that I know him, I know what he was doing. He was being Eric McEwen, and so he just like, his improv game is so strong that I didn't know that's what we were doing. So like, I remember saying like, Mustache Rangers, that's a band, right? And he just like, flat affect, just like, no, it's not. And in my head, I'm like, uh-oh. And I go, I know it's not. And I'm like, don't say it's a comic, because now suddenly I don't know what it is, and I'm worried he's not going to say. And I was like, I know it's not. And luckily, Tim, I think I remember, stepped in and was like, right, Mustache Rangers is the improv comedy duo that you guys do. And in my head, I'm like, comedy duo? Well, I'm an asshole, because the whole time I only knew him from this comic that he did with our friend Lem. So like, that made sense to me.
I left that episode being like, wait a minute. It's the same Levi Weinigan that does Blanket.
Eric
McEwen. Yeah. Right, sorry.
Yeah.
And I never put the two together. This same guy with the same first and last name also does a comic with this friend of ours. I never put that together.
We were so tired, and there'd been so much planning into that party that I think that by the time we got on stage for that, it was just like, my head was just nowhere in the game. So if I could do a do-over, I would do that over with Eric McEwen, because I wish I had known a little bit more about him and been less completely like crazy with the launch party to actually be able to talk to him about things like Blanket and other things more than we did.
Well, we've done better at learning about our guests as we've gone. It's kind of, there was a point where it's just like, I would say, I do a lot of the guest procurement.
Yeah.
Because, and I would be like, guys, what do you think about this guest? And you're like, yeah, okay.
Sure.
And you never say, what's he do? I'd just be like, oh, he's a comedian. He'll be fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now if I say somebody you don't know, you're like, tell me about him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Learn my lesson.
Work.
Yeah.
Tell me about him or her. And I, especially with guests that we aren't as familiar with, I try to pick their brain a little bit. Like when we did the prog rock one just a few weeks back.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like especially since this was somebody we didn't have any personal experience with. You couldn't even go with that basic, hey, this guy's a comedian, or hey, this guy's a musician, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. It's like, we got to really understand, all right, what's he into, so we can have
we should almost try to bring that level of professionalism to every episode we do.
Well, ironically, you barely got through that sentence.
I know, it was rough. It was a rough sentence.
It's something to strive for in the next 200 episodes, perhaps.
Sure.
Perhaps. I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's not make any promises.
It's a free podcast we do in our very, very dwindling free time.
Yeah. Thanks in part to this podcast. So, you know,
That's true. That's true.
So, what about, like, are there any fun moments that stick out, or, like, anything particularly funny that happened, or even a rewarding experience?
If fun moments, I know one of the episodes that I was like, oh, that was hilarious, even though I don't think Molly will agree, which is the first time we recorded an OmegaCon and Molly.
Drunk Molly.
Molly was drunk, and the name of the episode is Drunk Molly. and it's just, Molly is hilarious.
Drunk Molly's a lot of fun. I've gotten some distance from that. When I first listened to it, I was just cringing, because it was
you're
like
so self-conscious.
I was like, oh my God, I'm so drunk. And like, I get worried that I'm annoying and no one is telling me I'm being annoying, because they're so annoyed that
which
they don't
weird
even want
because
to deal
I
with
say
me.
It so often.
I know. But so I listen to that and I'm like, oh, everyone thinks I'm awful. Oh, everyone's listening to this and thinking I'm terrible, even though the overwhelming response is Drunk Molly is very hilarious. Because Drunk Molly doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think, the ratio of Molly talking to Tim and Nick talking in that episode is pretty high.
I have to say, one of my favorite moments is from around that episode too, Tim, because it was when we got you to drink the Sonic Screwdriver shot.
Yeah. That was so gross.
And it was so strong. And like, I think you drank two of them, because like by the end of the episode, I can tell that like if you were to get drunk, you would probably just get tired and fall asleep. Like,
I think that's probably true.
Like
the safest and most boring of drunks.
Yeah. Like you might get a little bit like, maybe you get a little mouthy at first, and then you'd probably just lay down.
We bought those little plastic cups that have like the shot glass built into them.
Yeah.
And it was like,
it looked like a Sonic Screwdriver.
Triple sec and blue
curacao.
And then vodka.
Like sparkly orange water.
Tangerine water. Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
because it's
thinking,
a screwdriver is orange and vodka.
It's a Sonic
Screwdriver. Well, there's this water, so this will probably cut the flavor of
it
didn't cut it at all. That was a really hard
we might have to buy Tim a drink tonight at the 200th episode.
Just something little
just to celebrate, to toast Tim,
to toast. I mean who knows, all kinds of things could happen. Somebody could mention Jeremy's name and everyone has to drink. If that happens,
what about you, Molly? What Sonic Screwdrivers?
Yeah, Sonic Screwdrivers. I don't know. It's been so fun that I will say recording when I was on muscle relaxants that time when we recorded with Carr Hagerman.
House, right?
Yeah, we were at my mom's house.
Yeah, you're on muscle relaxants. He was talking about having been molested.
And like the Catholic Church and its horrors on top of that.
It
was a camp counselor that did that, but he was also talking about
Catholic.
His whole thing was and yeah, it was a really dark episode to be so stoned on.
Now, there's Molly. Oh, Carr.
Was it your back?
It was I had thrown my back out helping Jeff Neffel move.
Oh, right.
I picked up that box that might as well have held bricks and threw my back out so bad.
Man, I...
what about you? What's your favorite stuff?
I think one of my favorite moments was just like kind of like an endearing fun thing that happened. But we helped kickstart that movie adaptation of the Chick Track, Dark Dungeons. And we had kind of like a movie night during
our first ever movie night.
And we had Tony Miller and Ron Bauman over, and we all watched Dark Dungeons at our place, and then we talked about it afterward, and everyone in the room had like some gaming, you know, pen and paper gaming experience, and we talked about favorite role-playing, you know, moments and favorite characters we had played in the past and stuff like that, and like it was a good nerdy conversation with like seasoned nerds who remember some of the old school but remember some of the new school stuff. And
plus it started our now annual Terrible Christian Movie Night that we have where we record. Because we're going to have to do that again this year.
That'll be three times. And that's a tradition.
We also still have Kidnapped for Christ and Saving Christmas to watch. I mean, there's a lot of terrible Christian movies.
When, and God's Not Dead 2.
I know.
So, one of the types of episodes we do sometimes, you know, sometimes we have guests, sometimes we're talking about a particular topic, or whatever. Another thing we do are Geeky Boners episodes.
Yeah, we do.
Where we all talk about, do you guys remember our first Geeky Boners episode?
I do, only because you were listening to it earlier today.
Yeah.
So our first Geeky Boners episode was actually an accident.
It was our fifth episode.
And so, Tim, we were listening to it just this morning. You were like, before we start, I just want to go around the horn. What's something geeky that you guys have been doing lately? And I said, like, I've got a boner for it. And you named the episode Geeky Boners.
I did.
And that's what we went with from
then
on.
That's how it came.
That was the origin of our big, throbbing Geeky Boners.
And I could open up the episode.
Your boner was the Alphabetical Movie Project.
Oh, my God.
You specifically talked about Iron Giant and Iron Man, more specifically Tony Stark and how he was your favorite Marvel character at the time. Is he still your favorite Marvel character in the cinematic universe?
In the Marvel cinematic universe?
Yeah, you said you liked him better. You said you loved Avengers because Avengers had just come out.
Yep.
But that you thought Iron Man was a better movie, and Nick agreed with you.
I did.
And
I don't know that I still feel that way.
I don't know.
The first Iron Man is a fucking great movie. There's no denying it.
Is Iron Man my favorite Avenger still? Boy, I don't know, because I've been...
For the cinematic, at least.
For cinematic.
Do you feel like your opinion might change drastically in a month when Civil War comes out?
I don't know if I'm Team Iron Man or Team Cap.
What?
Team Cap.
You're Team Cap, Tim. You're Team Cap or you're off the show. Team Iron Man is Team Fascism.
You're recording my basement. That's not possible. That's no fair. It's not even okay.
Well,
I don't know. I like Cap an awful lot. I don't think Captain America had been... Well,
it depends how they... It depends on... I don't even know the plot for Civil War at this point, except that I'm pretty sure they're following a little bit like the comics, in which case Team Iron Man is ethically and morally wrong.
Superheroes are WMDs, and can states use them in a sanctioned fashion against other states? It's just Geneva Convention for superheroes. Tim, one of the things you said in your boner was that when you mentioned Iron Giant, I said I hadn't seen it yet.
I know.
And I still haven't.
He still hasn't seen it.
We got to do a whole episode. Just.
I think we do need to do an Iron Giant episode.
Molly, do you remember what your boner was?
I don't, because even though I listened to this morning, I don't remember.
Yours was... doing the planogram when you were back at sales at Fantasy Flight Games.
That's right, the Gen Con planogram, because Brian Bornmiller and I were building the planogram room.
And you were like, I love it because I get to decide where everything goes and I am God there.
Everyone has
to
do what I say.
Yeah, it was a controlled organization.
You don't build the planogram anymore.
I don't go to Gen Con anymore. I haven't gone to Gen Con for the last 2 years. I will never go again. Not for work.
Gen Con.
Yeah, we don't go now. It's the company, the scope of the company has changed.
You could go for leisure.
I could go.
So is the company not going at all anymore?
The company, so Asmodee North America, my company technically is Fantasy Flight Studios.
Yeah.
We won't be going, except for probably the minis guys or anyone who does tournament play, some of the LCG guys, they'll probably go to run tournaments and stuff.
Uh-huh.
But in terms of everyone going just to run demos, the company needs people to stay back and continue to make games. The whole company can't shut down for a week and a half anymore.
Too big.
And so in Asmodee, they'll still have to send some salespeople, but it won't be everyone. It's never going to be everyone
Will their booth be an FFG booth, or will the booth be an Asmodee? Interesting.
It'll be an Asmodee booth almost certainly. I don't know for sure. I don't know the details because I'm in product development. It's crazy.
Not your problem.
It's not my issue.
My first geeky boner was...
No more boners for me. Not about that.
My first geeky boner was I had taken a Wednesday off from work and gone to get comics and noticed that they had put out like a new Magic the Gathering set and we had stopped playing for a few years, but then we bought a bunch of cards to like play a few games and play with some friends and stuff and gear up maybe for after Convergence we were playing around then. And I just had some really satisfying comics that I had read and I bought Magic cards and the new trade of the new hardcover of one of the Parker comics had come out and I was going to lend it to Tim.
Lend me my book, your books.
And I still have them, I think.
Oh, okay.
they're upstairs.
This retrospective and is really panning out.
I keep seeing them and going, I really got to get those back to Nick. So,
is there any controversy or argument or anything, any point of contention in 200 episodes that sticks out?
We don't disagree too much. We always get kind of frustrated because it's like, we don't want to be an echo chamber, but I think, the biggest disagreement I can remember is when we had Carr on to talk about trigger warnings.
Mm. Yeah.
And I let him talk, but I actually disagree with him about a lot of it because, I disagreed with him about talking about how, it's hurting college campuses when there is, in fact, zero evidence that it's hurting college campuses. There's just a lot of opinion pieces that say it's hurting college campuses that don't have any actual statistical evidence to back them up.
But it's hard to measure, too. I mean, it's still opinion.
My opinion is it's hurting college campuses. Well, you don't know that.
Yeah.
And just knowing people for whom trigger warnings are important and feeling like the minute you say, well, I just feel like it's not right to call them it's not right to hold them to, I don't know how to say it. I just felt it was really unfair to people for whom trigger warnings are important to say, basically, I think trigger warnings are stupid and they're contributing to the wimpization of our society. And it's like, I don't think that. It's like, we still do a fucking insult comedy show once a month and nobody's stopping us. There are a couple of people that bitch about it, but it doesn't stop it from happening.
No, and it never will.
And it's
and they're welcome to bitch about it. I mean, they don't have to fucking like it. They don't have to come. They don't have to agree.
It's fucking First Amendment, right? Mm-hmm. We can do this offensive comedy show, and you can hate it.
Yeah.
And that can be fine. And we can have a dialogue about it. And a trigger warning doesn't say we can no longer do this offensive comedy show. It just says, oh, by the way,
we're going to do an offensive comedy show.
I heard a really, right after we recorded that, I heard a really convincing argument that I kind of wish we could revisit that topic sometime because someone said, trigger warning is a really bad term and a rigged term. It's a content warning, and it's what you see before every television show you ever watch now. Every single television show or movie beforehand will say, this is rated this because this reasons. That's all a trigger warning is.
And
is saying, now's your chance to get the kids out of the room before we put the dick in the vagina.
Or now's your chance to leave the room because, I just said that there's realistic war violence and you have PTSD from being in the shit in Afghanistan.
I think it's
my cool term.
Shit.
So I don't remember that we've ever had really big arguments.
I haven't ever really argued with you guys, but there's a few things where points of contention where listeners actually commented on the site, and we don't edit this podcast. Not really. We don't edit for content. We don't cut it together. Tim takes it, and I don't know if you guys know this, but Tim does the editing of it every week. He puts every show together, and does the beginning part, and we record the stingers and the bumpers and everything, but as a result, he doesn't like edit out for content. He doesn't edit out pauses, and he doesn't go through and be like, oh, we said this part got off track, we'll stop recording and we'll cut it together. And so sometimes we're just talking. This is just a conversation we're having, and it's off the cuff, and I've said things off the cuff that were not true, or that I stated as fact that weren't fact, and people have called me out on it. There was a couple times where, there's one time where a guy started a conversation with me on the website about the recidivism of pedophilia and pedophiles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I guess I don't think I've had any disagreements with you guys or our guests, but there have been times when listeners have disagreed with me and I've enjoyed those conversations.
Seriously, we got to find something to disagree about.
Well, I can tell you one time.
How do you feel about cilantro?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Shades of Grey.
Put it in everything. Yeah. Shades of Fuck gray. You guys.
Cilantro fight.
I love cilantro, and I hate the cilantro dressing you use because it's too much cilantro.
Oh, both of you are crazy. I put cilantro fight. I put cilantro on that salad with that dressing, I'll have you know.
I can think of a time when we had someone on that was a point of contention. Not necessarily with us. With us, it was a friendly disagreement, and I don't know if people understood that it was a friendly disagreement, but when we had Mark Lazarchuk on, and we talked about the arrogance of atheists, it was, people were so unhappy or disagreed so much with what he had to say that we actually did a follow-up episode to that, and like Bob Alberti, a friend of the show, you know, who've gone on as a guest, and he's a friend of ours, said, you know, what theists call arrogance is simply masked by their theistic privilege, and I think that was kind of a summation of that whole response episode.
Yeah, totally.
But a lot of people really hated what Mark had to say, and also how he had to say it.
There was a dude that posted a blog entry about how much of an asshole
and
he
Mark
thought
responded.
Mark. Of course he did.
Yeah.
It was
a
mess.
That was actually a fun.
That was fun. I remember
thing
that.
To watch.
I remember that.
I think the thing is that sometimes I'll disagree, but I'm more interested in understanding the other person's point of view in that situation than I am in really pushing mine.
That's why we had them on.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, that's kind of how I feel when we have a guest, is it's like, the guest is here because we want to know what the guest has to say. If I disagree, that's fine. But it feels rude to me to invite someone over to the show to argue with them. Unless that's what the pretense was.
Sure, right.
Like,
that's
Mark
one thing.
Or Carr.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I know if we invite, or Ron, honestly, or Tony.
Yeah.
Like, these are people who both love debating, like engaging in debate, who we've engaged in debate offline, I should say, off the podcast.
Yeah. There's a degree of like personal rapport where we can really get into an argument without anyone having to worry about hurting anyone's feelings or anything.
So I would say, in terms of like my favorite person I now know because we've done the show, in terms of like someone who was just a regular person, wasn't like any kind of celebrity-ish kind of, you know, John Reisner.
Oh, yeah.
From the Satanic Temple chapter of Minneapolis.
Awesome.
Who I and his nihilism would probably make him hate hearing this, but I adore him.
Yeah,
I think he is,
for sure.
I love his posts. We are friends on Facebook.
Yeah.
I absolutely fucking adore him and his
unabashed,
which is weird because like I'm so cheerful and not nihilistic.
Unabashed and very prominent. Kind of almost depressing nihilism that is funny.
It is funny.
It's like car wreck watching funny.
He's hilarious.
But then also the tiny coffins.
That,
holy shit.
But also, like, getting to know him, and we met another listener who we know at the Renaissance Festival now, and I can't think of his name because I'm a jerk, but, like, a couple people we've met through that, and then getting to see that whole side of what the Satanic Temple does for secularism and for non-belief in that way in the cities and for LGBT rights and all that has been really good. I feel like it's been a good coalition-ish kind of action, you know, and I think we should, we have their bake sale on the calendar, so we'll have to mention that sometime.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
What do you guys think? What connection or what, have you met anyone or made a new friend in any way?
We've actually mentioned him already, but I think Byron Miller is somebody that I've been really happy to get to know. You know, I've been working out at the festival a long time. There are so many crafters, and if you're an entertainer, you don't really have time to make connections with very many of them. But he was somebody that both Ron and Tony said, you guys should really talk to him, and he's just so thoughtful and intelligent and funny. I'm super happy to have made that connection. There's a little group that we created called Godless Assholes on Facebook.
Every now
and again, it's like one of the people in that group will share it's where you can share the really, really offensive.
It's where we can shitpost. Post our shitpost memes. Yeah. Our terrible memes.
And also it's practical. That way, I don't need to post something to Tim's wall and then tag those five people. We can just all see it there, and it's like a dumping ground.
Yes, and we can all revel in those moments where we just want to laugh and go, ha ha, fuck you, Christian.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Homeopathy.
Maybe right.
Fuck
totally.
You, homeopathy.
Yeah, totally.
Anti-vaxxers.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And without being all publicly asshole about it.
I think that there's a good chance we would have met and gotten to know Tony and Ron and maybe even Byron just from being out at the festival.
Maybe.
And like
Tony is a wanderer, and, so that's
and,
more likely.
Yeah, and you took John as your answer, so I'll pick my own for that one. I'm going to say Melissa.
Melissa Karacher?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Because, like, even though panels and performing and stuff... You know, and I think we know her through you, basically, Tim, and through Phil.
Yeah, I've known her a very, very long
through
time.
Through Geeks, right,
and performing at Convergence.
Melissa, no, and I, Melissa and I bonded over movies. We just got... Yeah. And actually, the weird thing is Melissa worked where I worked and went to Convergence and worked out of the Renaissance Festival, and we didn't really know each other, but we kept running into each other.
Oh, funny.
To the point that... And she knew who I was, because that happens sometimes. And she said, hi, when it was at where we worked together, and she's like, hi, Tim. I'm like, where am I that you are not?
That actually happened to me with Todd Gell. He was just this guy we kept seeing.
Yeah, at Convergence. Yeah, he
works at Fantasy Flight. So we just kept seeing him. Yeah. And then I went to interview for my job at Fantasy Flight, and John took me all around, and there's this guy whose name I don't even know at this point. And I'm and he just looks at me and he's like, you. I'm like, you. It's like, why? All the seeing, yeah.
My guy for that is David Waldorf.
Oh, yeah.
It's like my company bought his company, or we ended up in school together, or
small town.
Molly went to high school with him, or whatever. Now Fest.
Yeah, you got to know Melissa, and then we married her.
Yeah, we did. We all married her. Now we're all married.
We're all married to Melissa.
That GMOs episode we did with her recently, really like good. 185.
So good.
I've been sharing that around with folks when the conversation comes up, and I've got a lot of good feedback on that one.
What are we gonna do for 5 questions?
Oh, we're gonna do something special for 5 questions.
What?
Yeah.
Oh boy.
A little special.
I love special.
So, ever since our first episode, we've had 5 questions that we ask a guest.
5 questions.
Or a listener who sends in their answers to 5questionsgeekswithoutgod.com. And a while ago, we changed our 5 questions to a new set of 5 questions.
New 5 questions.
New.
Our old 5 questions were subjective.
So old.
So subjective.
And also some of the stuff in them was fairly dated.
That's true. It was pretty dated.
So we're going to go back and just quick go through our original 5 questions.
Ooh, just real quick answers?
Just for the 3 of
us. All
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
So we'll go around in a circle. We'll start with Tim on the first one.
Right. Yeah.
Tim, what's the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days?
The best movie that I've seen in the last 30 days. Son of a bitch. What did I just watch? Zootopia.
Mm.
It was Zootopia, which I mentioned in a boner episode just a little while ago, but surprisingly good. I was expecting it to be kind of average. The previews did not excite me, and the movie itself really was outstanding. So
awesome.
Molly?
I'm trying to remember what the last movie was we saw in the theater, because it was that one, but
the
I can't
last
remember.
Movie we saw wasn't the same one that I saw with I saw separately.
No, it wasn't.
I
can't remember what it was, though, so I'm really upset that I can't remember. Otherwise, I would say Force Awakens. We just watched a bunch of Force Awakens last night.
Awakens,
we watched all the special features and a little bit of the movie. So I'll call that one.
I was super pleased. I went out and got Force Awakened on Blu-ray, of course, the day it came out, and I got it late, so Devin didn't see it. And the next night, he had discovered it, and he was already watching it. So, like, well done me. Well done
Very
me.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
What about you?
10 Cloverfield Lane.
That's what I was thinking of.
That one's good.
Tim, it's
just go see it. It's like
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah, it's a Cabin in the Woods situation.
Don't let anyone talk about it.
If anyone tries to tell you about it, punch them in the face and they'll see the movie.
If they try to say anything beyond it's really good, if they're like, it's really good because, be like, zip, zip, zip.
Zip,
nope.
Zip, zip, zip.
I would like to hope that this does for John Goodman's career what, like, Pulp Fiction did for
John Travolta
or something.
Sam Jackson.
Like, yeah.
More people need to see it.
Yeah.
John Goodman, like, is so amazing. So, question number 2.
All right.
Who is your favorite atheist character?
Okay, I'm going first again. Am I going first again?
We'll start with
me?
Molly.
All right. I'll go first. I'm going to say Locke Lamora from The Gentleman Bastards.
Because he
is an atheist, even though he pretends to be a priest. And is the only god he believes in is the Crooked Warden, who isn't really a god so much as it is like the thought that thieves prosper.
Mm.
And
yeah.
so like it's I mean I guess you could say in that sense that he's not a full atheist, but he is, because he's a mad at god atheist in that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Locke Lamora.
Sherlock Holmes from the new Sherlock series.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there is an episode where he very clearly states that he's an atheist, and I just, I love that character. I mean, he's mm-hmm. he's fallible. He's not perfect.
Cumberbatch is, her Holmes is perfect.
Cumberbatch just yep. kills that role, yep. and I love that character.
Nick? Locke Lamora was definitely mine, too. But, yeah, it's just, it's a great book, great series. Mm-hmm. The fact that he's a priest con man, like, works yeah. so good into him not really believing in gods or spitting yeah. in the face of gods or whatever. I mean, using religion as a tool to hide and to do this his work, I think is pretty great.
Agreed.
So, guys, what are our geeky hobbies right now?
Oh, current geeky hobbies.
Hobbies.
I mean, that's not a hobby because I do it for work. I was going to say, like, I do a lot of game testing these days, but that's not, that's I get paid for that. That's not a hobby. I will say my geekiest hobby right now is probably just reading. I mean, I just audiobooks. I'm really yeah. geeky about audiobooks these days. Sure. I really like I've been re-listening even. There's a couple audiobooks where I like the narrator so much that I re-listened to a book and then went and found all of the different books that narrator has read.
Yeah.
And I looked mm-hmm. through a bunch. One of my favorite narrators did a really one of my shitty murder books called The Dollmaker. And this guy who was the narrator, I clicked and he has narrated like all of the Michael Crichton books. He did all these other like he has
this is the guy from
No. He oh. has a he has like a 5-page Audible wow. like bibli- I don't know, voice bibliography. Wow. So that was pretty amazing. But Tim, what about you?
I guess even though this is kind of work related, since you know what I'm doing right now is writing, but probably the geekiest thing is I got asked to do to present a story at a speculative fiction open mic earlier this year, and so I had to write yeah. a speculative fiction short story.
Cool.
And they were doing that every month, so I resolved to write a short story every week. And I've been pretty much sticking to speculative yeah. fiction style short stories every week for like the last 3 months. So that right now and now is my geekiest hobby is once a week I'm writing a 1,000 to 2,000 word short story.
Cool. That's that's very geeky and cool.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Nick?
I think my original answer was like miniatures, terrain painting, and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, you were doing that a lot back then.
Haven't had the time to play as much pen and paper these days. But I still read a lot of comics, and I've been reading fewer yet still some Cape comics, but I've been reading a lot of Image stuff lately and checking out new titles, and I've really been enjoying the stuff I found there. And I think, you know, in addition to, I don't know, multiplayer Xbox gaming, like for raids and
yeah,
stuff
yeah.
with the boys, I think the comic reading has been pretty great lately. But yeah. I think it's gone in a different direction than it was even just a few years ago.
Cool.
All right.
So question number 4 is probably our most popular question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite sandwich?
Favorite sandwich. Tim, I think this is you to go first if you are of
Well, yeah, I know you guys aren't eating that much bread anymore.
No, but we got I'm still going
to I got
assume,
a thing. I got
I'm
a thing to say.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah.
Right now, the sandwich that I'm eating most frequently, so I will count that as my favorite sandwich, is Jimmy John's. It's a turkey sandwich with bacon, and I get the avocado spread.
Nice.
And then I bring it home, and I put a little bit of my favorite Italian dressing and a little bit of salad vinegar on it.
Nice. That sounds good.
That's my favorite sandwich.
That sounds really tasty. Nick, what about you?
So, all right. So, Molly and I don't eat a lot of bread or any grains of any sort, but there's this kind of like hippie grain, low grain, like the... Let's say
it's a bread made with like tapioca starch and stuff
right.
like that.
It's like
so
it's
yeah.
like the best cheat.
Okay.
It's the least of evils for our diet, for what we eat. So there's this bread, right? And it's just a sandwich. It's just this bread, and here's the shocker, here's the reveal. There's this mayonnaise that we got.
Actual mayonnaise, not Miracle
Whip. I've my entire life have been a Miracle Whip person.
It's made 100% with like avocado oil and good oils.
Avocado oil and egg and lemon and like that's fucking it. Like it's a very, very simple ingredient. It's got a fancy gentleman on the front of it and a top hat and a monocle. It's kind of expensive, but it's so fucking delicious. And so I put that on one piece of bread and Grey Poupon on the other. And then I like
Tall and the Great Papana.
Swiss or Munster or provolone. And then I like the, like, go to the actually deli counter and get roast beef cut, like, extra thin and that on there. And that's it. Like, nothing else. Don't do anything else to it. Just, like, it's so fucking satisfying. It's such a great cheat thing to eat for us that it's a treat. But mayonnaise is good when it's good.
So I use that same bread, but I've been making I made a grilled cheese sandwich with a fruit jelly inside.
Oh,
so it's like it's called it's like a no sugar added jelly. So it's just fruit juice and pectin. So it's like blueberry, raspberry, and strawberry, and then I think grapes mixed together. And so it's like a nice French jelly. And so I put cheese, and then I spread jelly on the bread, and then the butter on each side, and then I grill it. So it's a grilled cheese with jelly in the middle sandwich, and it ends up tasting kind of like a Monte Cristo. I put a little turkey in it once, and it did taste like a Monte Cristo. Ooh. It was super good. So if you want a poor man's Monte Cristo that isn't deep fried with the powdered sugar, turkey and cheese, and
so not really a Monte Cristo, but still.
Yeah. And so, hey guys, what's the stupidest thing anyone has ever said to you about your atheism?
Oh, that's a tough one. And I've been thinking about this the whole time because I don't get too many challenges anymore, which actually think is great.
Yeah,
and it's I don't know if it's the way I write about being an atheist, which tends to be mostly saying, you know, I don't give a fuck if you're a Christian, just so long as you don't expect me to follow your rules, basically.
Yeah.
I think the thing, and I'll go back to the episode with Mark Lazarchek, and I mean, I like Mark a lot, but I think his statement about how atheists are arrogant simply because they say they don't believe in God, and that there's a level of arrogance when you just say I don't believe in God, and that you are somehow challenging everybody who believes in God simply by stating what you think. And it's like that's totally unfair because everybody who believes in God can talk about believing in God all the time.
And they're never called arrogant for believing.
They're never, and you know, they can put up billboards, and I just drove past a shit ton of billboards as I was coming back from Wisconsin today.
Oh, God, yeah.
With, you know, Bible shit this and pro-life shit that. And it's like, if I put up one billboard that's like, that was a Geeks Without God billboard that said, find out more with an 800 number, we would get so many voicemails talking about
it. Let alone if it said, there's no threats. God, for sure.
Yeah. And we get so many responses that would be people just pissed off at us because we had the audacity to say we didn't believe in God. Not to challenge their belief, but to state ours. When they can state their belief anytime they want and nobody's going to question it.
Yeah, for me, I would say it's just the I'll pray for you, or I'll pray that God shows himself to you, that you see this. I'll pray for you to come back to the fold or whatever. That's just the dumbest response to me, because that's like, I just said I don't believe in God. Your response is, well, I will do that thing you think is imaginary to make you do the thing that you think is imaginary. Don't worry. I mean, I don't know. To me, that's just, it's stupidest because it's just so ignorant. And it's just like, okay, I mean, all right. Like,
I'm not going to stop you.
No, but it's insulting. Yeah. It is. Yeah. Because, like, it's insulting it's insulting for someone to say, well, I'll pray for you to come around.
Yeah.
When I've just been like, no, thanks. I don't believe in God. Like, we don't need to go on from there. What about you, Nick?
I'm going to go with the most popular answer that we heard by anyone, and that's like, well, what's stopping you from murdering people, basically? Mm. And I heard the same argument used in a very different context recently, and that's someone was posting about the South Carolina bathroom laws that are anti-transgender folks. And
fuck South Carolina, by the way.
Yeah.
Just
fuck.
Yeah.
Someone said,
South Carolina.
You know, we need these laws to protect our children from being molested in the bathroom, was basically what someone was saying on a person I know's Facebook page.
Gross.
And They're like, so, like, is a lost, the only thing stopping you from, like, molesting women in the bathroom?
Yeah.
Is that, you know, for this dude, and he was like, well, yeah, if I could go into the women's bathroom, it'd be like supermarket sweep or something like that. Like, and I was just like, dude, if the law is the only thing stopping you from doing something terrible, that doesn't necessarily mean you're a good person.
It means you're not a good person.
It means you're not a good person.
Yeah.
And similarly, like, all right away, I was like, oh my God, I haven't heard this argument in so long. Because
yeah.
we changed our questions. And we used to hear it all the time.
But it's the most common
response. Basically, if religion is the only thing keeping you from murdering people, fuck, man. I'm kind of glad we have religion. Really, but also, you're a sociopath.
Yeah, like, totally.
Yeah, so
the fact is, it isn't. It isn't. Religion isn't what keeps people from doing bad things.
It's decency.
It's being
decent. It's your inner moral compass. Yeah. But I think it's what we've learned. So, you know, really, what have we learned over these last 199 episodes? One of them is that, you know, for most of us atheists, our experiences, though there's variations on a theme, they tend to be really similar. You know, usually had some sort of religious upbringing, dissatisfaction with it through questioning.
Paganism, not so uncommon.
Maybe a paganism phase. Yeah. Authority figures in said religions, paganism included, providing unsatisfactory responses to questions, not getting that sense of community that we were searching for until we gave up the ghost, so to speak, and went full atheist.
And just asking questions to which there are no answers.
Yeah,
Not being able to figure out the logic doesn't work, and nobody's really willing to admit that.
Man.
Or they admit it by saying, well, you just have to have faith.
Yeah, right. Non-answers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, guys, 199 episodes.
Yeah.
It's been great.
High fives.
High fives. Woo.
So 199 episodes, we're going to go record our 200 and 201st tonight with Barb Abney and Jeremy Messersmith.
Can't wait.
That's going to be super fun. And then it's the future. We have, you know, we'll see what happens in the next 200 or whatever.
That's true. All kinds of things.
And recording again at Convergence and all sorts of fun announcements and stuff. And we're not going to read anyone's five questions because we did our own.
We did our own. It's time.
But if you want to answer.
This was our episode.
Yeah.
This was the end of an era.
It's our little three-person circle jerk.
After 200 more episodes, well, maybe it'll be all about y'all.
Yeah.
This time it's all about us.
Right. And the people that helped us get here and were our guests. And for you for listening.
Everyone
who listened, we really appreciate it. It's been crazy.
Here's to 199 more.
Here's to 199 more.
Clink.
Clink.
Clink. I guess we'll just see y'all next Tuesday.
Bye.
Bye.
That spells
Kyunt.
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 See ya. Bye.
Bye. 199 podcast episodes on the wall. 199 podcast episodes on the wall.
Stop it. Just stop.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks. Geeks Without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging and listen to past podcasts at geekswithoutgod.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks.
We're geeks.
We're geeks without God.
We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Oh, fuck. Fuck, seriously? Yeah. Oh, fuck.